If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you. Welcome into the program. Hope that your day is starting off well. Great to be back with you. I apologize in advance if my voice sounds a little rough. Got a cold while I was on the road, but think I'm coming back.
Study was released Monday at the Alzheimer's Association International Conference. Phil. Researchers believe toxic chemicals found in wildfire smoke and fine particulate matter are dead.
There we go. So we have... We have a lot that we can talk about, a lot to get caught up on. But I can tell you that I had a great couple days off, came back late Sunday night, which is why I took yesterday off. I didn't want to put the pressure on because I wasn't driving. I was the passenger. So I didn't want to put the pressure on to try to get home so that I could get to bed at a decent time. And turned out to be a good thing because we got home close to midnight and I was exhausted. And I had a doctor's appointment early in the morning anyway, so I said, I'll just take the extra day. I don't use all my vacation time anyway, although this year I will, thanks surgery. But nice to get a few days to head out of the state and see some different places, although I didn't really get a chance to do much sightseeing, exploring, whatever you want to call it, while I was in Gettysburg. The Paranormal Convention this year was pretty busy with different things going on in a different location. So the good part was, instead of previously, it was kind of on the outskirts of where the battlefields were and everything. And so I had to make a special trip to go see the battlefields and some of the historical sites. And this one, this year, the new hotel that they held it at was pretty much right there. So you were driving through these battlefields as you were going, say, to and from. I had to run to Walmart one day. So going from Walmart to the hotel, you're driving through a place where thousands of people lost their lives. Just that little area that I drove through. And you have no idea, until you lay eyes on it for yourself, just how immense the area is in which the Battle of Gettysburg took place. And the proximity to the downtown area. And you hear stories like, you know, Jenny Wade shot by a cannonball. And others who were, you know, quote unquote, collateral damage in that battle. And you understand why. Now, I'm sure a lot of that area was probably more farmland or meadow at that time. I'm sure a lot of that area was probably more wooded than it is now. But you still have an idea of what it was like and seeing all the monuments. When you go, if you've never been to Gettysburg, when you get to the battlefield, you can't throw a rock in certain areas without hitting a monument. And you shouldn't throw a rock. Don't hit the monuments. But there are these memorials to those from different states, different regiments who lost a significant amount of their troops during that battle. And so while you want to walk around and drive around and explore and see everything there is to see, and it's exciting to see a lot of this, especially if you're somebody who has studied Civil War history, but then once you get there, that excitement is leveled off by a serious dose of somberness and reverence for what happened there. So I was glad that even though I didn't get to go out and do as much sightseeing as I did last year, at least I was able to pay respects while we were in the community itself. So again, if you've never been there, it's about a 7-hour drive, maybe 7.5 from here, depending on traffic. You should be able to head down, you know, once you get into Connecticut, when you get to past Stamford, you kind of go to the right and you take the Tappan Zee, or now the Governor Mario Cuomo Bridge. And that will take you right into, you know, the rest of New York, the New Jersey, then you get into Pennsylvania. And it's kind of a, I wouldn't say a straight shot, but a relatively straight shot into Gettysburg from there. A nice drive. Not a lot of high traffic points if you leave at the right time of day. And worth it if you've got some time this summer to take off and you're looking for something to do for a couple of days. I mean, I would recommend an entire week because there's so much to see. Or at least, you know, 3, 4, 5 days there. Last year, I got to do some sightseeing for probably about 2 days. And again, this year, just didn't have much time. We left here Wednesday, right after the show. Drove to, we didn't go that way. We went a different way because we went to New Jersey, kind of South New Jersey, 20 minutes outside of Philadelphia, to spend a day or two with some friends. And then from there, it was about 2.5 hours across Philadelphia and across Pennsylvania to Gettysburg. And one thing that I noticed when I was there, and I don't know if there's an ordinance. I don't know much about Gettysburg rules at all, but I didn't see any political signs in the town. And it may be because pretty much every piece of property has historical significance that they might have a ban on them. They might not allow them to be posted, but I didn't see any anywhere. And it's, you wouldn't even know, if not for, you know, cars and other modern amenities, you might not even know it's 2024 in that town, in certain areas. So I know I said this last year, but hopefully next year, if we go back, I can spend a little more time kind of exploring around. Because last year, we spent a good amount of time at Devil's Den, but we couldn't get to Little Round Top because that was closed, but now it's been reopened. But we didn't get up there. Part of it, my fault. I needed to dress up on Saturday night to ring announce a wrestling event at the Gettysburg Battlefield Bash, and I forgot my dress shirt. So we had to take time out of our day on Saturday to go to Walmart. And everything is 15 minutes away in Gettysburg, but that 15 minutes feels like a lot longer. But I'm back, rested, a little bit sick, but ready to talk with you. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I was kind of keeping tabs a little bit on what was going on while I was away. I was trying to disconnect too because I don't take much time off. And even if I take a day off here and there, I'm usually doing stuff behind the scenes. I may not be on the air, but I'm still working and still connected into what's going on. But this, the past few days, I tried to just be disconnected from everything, which was good because I wasn't feeling great on top of, you know, being out of town. But I heard Chris talking in the bits of his podcast that I caught about offshore wind, and that he is, you know, already chalking this up as a failure. That because one turbine broke, this is just indicative of the whole thing is just too dangerous, just too environmentally dangerous, just too untested to continue on with. And I don't think the wind industry is thinking that way. I think that there's a balance that can be found, and I think that there are improvements that can be made. Maybe the question is, are they rushing into production of these turbines a little bit too soon? My assumption was that they are basing it off the model of where they built these wind farms in other places. And there are going to be growing pains with every new industry. There are going to be lessons learned with every new industry. That doesn't mean that you stop the industry because of one problem. I'm sure as they were inventing and perfecting the gas-powered engine, they had a few of them blow up in their faces. But they kept going because they knew that that technology was going to change the world. They knew that that technology was the next step in societal evolution. And I guess the same can be said for wind. It's a little bit, it's an older technology just used in a new way. But progress doesn't stop just because there are some bumps along the road. The space program didn't stop because the Challenger blew up or because Apollo 13 had an issue or any of those problems that came along the way. You learn, you correct, you adapt, you move on. I guess you could say the same for the presidential race this year on the part of the Democratic Party, because the same thing is happening there. So we can talk about all that, of course, but there's something that I wanted to discuss this morning and get your thoughts on. Because I don't really have too much of an issue with this. I'm of the mindset that it's about time, but you might feel differently. As part of the budget for fiscal year 2025 being signed by Governor Healey, the Massachusetts legislature has legalized online lottery. Now, a lot of the stores that sell lottery are up in arms about this, because they say having a web-based online version or app version of the Massachusetts lottery is going to keep people from buying lottery tickets in stores. And the legislature is looking at data that says, no, that's not the case. They've actually seen lottery sales go up in states that have had online lottery sales. Physical, like walking into stores, has gone up with the addition of online lottery sales. And I think, and I'm no psychologist here, so I'm just going to kind of fumble my way through this and make this up as I go along to some degree. But I think for a lot of people who are lottery purchasers, the online experience won't fulfill the entire need. So first of all, I'm a casual lottery buyer. I buy a ticket when there's like a really big jackpot. And I buy a scratch ticket if I pay with cash for something at the store and it comes out to $4 and I have a $5 bill and I get a dollar back, I'll say, just give me a dollar ticket. That's the extent of my lottery sales. Maybe 4 or 5 times a year I might make a lottery purchase. So I'm not going to download an app. I'm not going to plug in a credit card or debit card or link up a bank account and set all the required parameters to do that a couple of times a year. First of all, I don't have the space on my phone anymore. And secondly, I don't care enough about the lottery to go through all that. So you're still going to get my 4 or 5 lottery trips to a store every year. The other issue is stores don't have any control over gambling addiction. They don't cut somebody off because they think they've spent too much money on scratch tickets. And I sold lottery tickets. And I've seen people who I know were spending more than they could afford to spend on scratch tickets, daily numbers, whatever it may be, Keno. But we were trained by my boss that it's not your problem, it's not your business. If they want to buy a ticket and they have the cash, then you make the sale. It's not the same as, you know, being TIP certified and knowing all the rules and regulations and knowing when to cut somebody off like you do with alcohol. No. That person can come in there spending the very last dollar they have to their name, and if they want a dollar scratch ticket, you take it. Whereas the app will have protections in place, and by protections, I think they really mean, you know, there'll be an option where if you have a gambling problem, click here, and it'll connect you with the resources. And how many people who have a gambling problem are going to say, you know what, you're right, I'm going to click here. Or maybe there's a function where if you use the app too much, there's a pop-up message that directs you to Gamblers Anonymous or something. But whatever it may be, it's still more than you get in the stores. And I agree with stores in the sense that, you know, you should be a little concerned that it might take away some sales, but I don't think that it will. Scratch ticket people need the tactile feel of buying a ticket and scratching it. If not, they would be home playing online poker or online slots, which they're probably doing too, some of them, and still going out and getting their scratch tickets. There's a physical, almost Pavlovian response in scratching those tickets. And I think the lottery is a convoluted system. I don't know what day is a national prize, a state prize, what time this goes, what time this is drawn, when I can buy tickets to for that or any of that. So for me, it's easier just to go into a store and say, give me a quick pick. So I think a lot of the casual lottery people will be the same way. Now, the other side of it, the concern is the people who go into the store, spend all their cash, don't have access to any more cash. You can't use credit or debit cards to buy lottery in a store, but you'll use it online. And then they'll go and they'll take whatever money that they had that they tried to keep themselves from accessing and then be able to access it electronically and blow through that money that way as well. But it's about time, really. In 2024, we have the ability, we should be utilizing it. I'm all about the tax revenue for people's vices, for lack of a better term, gambling, cannabis, alcohol consumption. If people are going to do it anyway, let's make the revenue off of it. And if that means new technology, new ways of doing so, then so be it. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemail on the WBSM app. Right now, I'm going to take my first break of the morning. We'll be back in just a few moments. And we're here in the summer months. And maybe you're looking for a new career, but you think, you know what? I'm going to just ride out the summer. And then I'm going to find something that I really want to do. And you're contemplating what that might be. You know, you want to make a good living, but you also want to do something that matters, something that means something, something that's just as rewarding at the end of the day personally as it is financially. But then you might want to train to become an emergency medical technician at National EMS Institute, the leaders in EMS education. They have an accelerated program led by knowledgeable instructors who will guide you through the process of obtaining certification. National EMS Institute not only provides training within the four walls of the classroom, but also extends opportunities for students to learn in the industry as well. National EMS Institute Incorporated is committed to producing well-educated and successful emergency medical technicians who are service ready. So when you are done with their training, you are ready to get out there in the field. Enroll in their programs today and get prepared for the EMS workforce. They have a hybrid course that can be done in as little as 3 weeks, or you can take up to 12 weeks. It all depends on what pace works best for you and your life right now. You'll complete all of the schoolwork online and then travel to their Carver campus for 1 week of hands-on practical training. And when you do EMT training, it can provide a variety of career paths. So you could be, you know, somebody who actually goes into the EMT field. You could be a correctional officer, all public service workers. It's beneficial for everybody. They also have a campus in downtown New Bedford that offers 6-week EMT training. For more information, contact nationalemsinstitute.com. Now it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Biden pushing for Supreme Court changes. Pennsylvania police say they were failed by the feds. And your summer wardrobe could include some movie history.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Biden is pushing for major reforms to the Supreme Court as he marks the 60th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act. Mark Mayfield reports.
While speaking from the LBJ Presidential Library in Austin, Texas, Biden called for 18-year term limits for justices and an enforceable code of ethics. He also proposed a constitutional amendment to limit the broad immunity granted to presidents by a recent Supreme Court decision. Biden argued that extreme opinions from the Supreme Court in recent years have undermined long-established civil rights protections. He cited the court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade and grant broad immunity to presidents. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Some Pennsylvania law enforcement members say federal officials failed to properly prepare them for the Butler Township Trump rally. Beaver County SWAT sharpshooter Jason Woods has told ABC News that his team was supposed to get a face-to-face briefing from Secret Service agents prior to July 13th. That was the campaign event where Trump was grazed by a bullet, but that briefing never happened. The local officials also reiterated that they sent photos of gunman Thomas Crooks to those in command prior to the shooting, and they never received a response. Illinois Sheriff Jack Campbell is asking for forgiveness following the deadly shooting of Sonia Massey. During a Department of Justice community listening session last night, Campbell said his department failed Sonia.
That's all she did. That's all she did was call for help. And I'm going to say something right now that I've never said in my career before, that we failed. We did not do our jobs.
Authorities say Massey was shot and killed July 6th by former Deputy Sean Grayson, who remains in custody after being charged with murder. Many speakers at the gathering called for Campbell's resignation. He refused to step down, saying he won't abandon the sheriff's office at this most critical moment. Delta Airlines will reportedly seek compensation from Microsoft and CrowdStrike following the global software outage earlier this month. CNBC reports the airline has hired a law firm to pursue damages due to the cyber outage that began on July 19th. Delta canceled thousands of flights in the aftermath, leaving travelers stranded. A study conducted in California finds that exposure to wildfire smoke leads to a higher risk of someone being diagnosed with dementia. The study was released on Monday at the Alzheimer's Association International Conference. Researchers believe toxic chemicals found in wildfire smoke and fine particulate matter are damaging to the brain. And an iconic piece of movie history just sold at auction. Bree Tennis with more.
Bidding wars can be fun, exciting, and sometimes a little spendy. Case in point, the gold bikini Princess Leia wore in the 1983 movie Return of the Jedi just sold at auction for $175,000. Carrie Fisher wore that for the film and then only for 5 minutes. In her book, The Princess Diaries, she says her favorite part of Comic-Con is seeing that beautiful metal bikini on men. I'm Bree Tennis.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox beat the Mariners 14-7 in their series opener from Fenway. The teams face off again tonight with the first pitch at 7:10. And Team USA added 8 more medals Monday, continuing to lead the overall standings at the Paris Olympics. Americans have now won 20 total medals, including 3 gold, 8 silver, and 9 bronze. And that includes the U.S. men's gymnastics team earning bronze for their first team medal since 2008.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Starting out our morning with mostly cloudy skies, muggy conditions in these temperatures in the mid-70s. The humidity will continue this afternoon with warm temperatures around 80, partial sunshine. Overnight tonight, some clouds, some patchy fog. As we head into tomorrow, we'll be dealing with widespread showers, scattered thunderstorms, and temperatures in the upper 70s. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Sunshine in a bag, I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on. I ain't happy, I'm feeling glad. I got sunshine in a bag, I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on, it's coming on, it's coming
and
on.
And welcome back in 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemail on the WBSM app. It's nice to have a cup of coffee in the morning again that's not hotel room coffee, which I don't know why those coffees are so terrible, but they are. And I never think to bring my own. I was, you know, again, I was the passenger, so it's not like I could get in the car and leave and go get a coffee. And the people I was traveling with, poor Stephanie, she's pregnant with a little girl. Due in September. This was the last trip she was making before kind of hunkering down and getting ready for the birth. So she, you know, wanted to sleep in, obviously. She's very tired and the baby's keeping her up at night. So I didn't want to say, hey guys, I'm awake. Can you drive me to go get like Starbucks or Dunkin' or something? So I just drank the hotel coffee. I guess I could have tried to get something delivered, but it was in the middle of nowhere. So I drank that terrible, terrible coffee. But I was spoiled because on Thursday morning, waking up at our friend's house in New Jersey, oh my God. They had one of those, and I don't know how to pronounce it correctly, like Miele? M-I-E-L-E coffee machines. Oh. And I know it's a little uncouth to see an appliance in someone's house and look it up and see how much it costs. But after I had coffee out of this thing, I said, I got to see how much it is to get one of these things. And it was over $2,000. I mean, they just redid their kitchen. So they got, you know, all state-of-the-art appliances, and totally understandable. They've been waiting, you know, 20 years to redo their kitchen. So sure, spoil yourself. Get the top of the line stuff. Because it's going to be another 20 years before you buy new appliances. But this coffee machine was insane. I sat down at their little breakfast bar. I was the last one to wake up on Thursday morning, which I was surprised by. Went downstairs. Our friend Tina's already cooking breakfast. Smells delicious. Eggs and bacon and toast. And I sit down at the breakfast bar, and she hands me a laminated piece of paper. And she's like, here's the coffee menu. Decide what you would like. And I'm looking at it, and it really is. It says, you know, their family name coffee menu. And it's like 24 choices of coffees that she can make. And they've got the caramel drizzle and pumpkin spice syrup and all. They've got everything over there. And this machine, you just tell it what you want it to make, and it makes that cup of coffee for you. It was incredible. And I guess they have a smaller, like, single-person version of it for $1,000. So maybe that'll go on my dream list. I just built my little coffee bar at home. Well, didn't build it. I put it together. Because for Christmas, I got an espresso machine, and I already had a Keurig machine. I don't really love Keurig coffee, but sometimes it's convenient. Usually at home, I grind beans up in my burr grinder, and burr, not blade, keeps the bitterness out. And then I make the coffee in the French press. But the Nespresso machine has been a game changer for me. Makes a good cup of coffee, and it's quick and easy. Just hard to find the pods. But this machine that he had, I was like, I will throw everything off my coffee bar. I will just wipe that thing with one sweep of my hands. If I could get one of these machines, but I don't think I'm going to pay $1,000 for coffee. For them, you know, their whole family, it's, you know, they've got some adult children, then their other children are teenagers. Everybody drinks coffee in their house. They entertain a lot. Neighbors are always just walking in the door. It's worth it for them. But for me, it seems like an extravagance. But man, did it make the best cup of coffee I've ever had. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You are on WBSM.
Welcome back, Reverend.
Thank you.
I'm sorry that you have a cold and everything. I noticed not too many photographs of food, and you probably wouldn't have tasted it with a cold anyway. And if you posted anything, it went under the radar with me, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't really eat much. So they had some food trucks at the convention there, and I had Friday, I had a grilled cheese that was ham and Dijon and Swiss, and it was very good. And then on Saturday, I had some crab fries, which was these hand-cut French fries that had a crab sauce that they put on top of it, a kind of a Pennsylvania thing.
Well, I'm glad you made it back in one piece. My call today really is aimed at one person, if I may. And she knows who she is, and I'll tell you who it is. But she called Brian when Brian was on. I don't know if he was replacing you that day or if it was his Saturday show. I think it might have been Saturday. But, Shawnee, I hope you're listening, because I know you are. You called up, and, of course, you were talking to Brian Thomas, the cab driver. And, of course, as usual, you were slamming Trump all over. I don't have a problem with that. I never have. To each his own. I've said a lot of things about Biden and Obama and Hillary, and everything was okay. You were talking away, and my ear was always to the radio. But you said something that day that was different, and it went under the radar because Brian was talking away. I don't even think he heard you, but you can't deny you said it because I'm sure it's on the podcast now. You were talking about Trump, slamming around. I was fine. And then when he mentioned the attempted assassination, and you said, well, he should have turned his head. So you condone assassination. You hate the guy that much that you wanted him dead killed. I may not like Biden. I may not like Kamala. That's what I call her. But I would never go
well,
that far.
You're not going to call this show and call her that, but go ahead.
Well,
Continue on with your point.
Okay. But I would never wish anybody to be murdered. That's gone too far. I don't believe you hate him that much, but it sure sounded like it. And despite all that, I would still buy you a cup of coffee if I met up with you. Because I know it sounds like I'm judging you. It sounds like I am. But I'm not the final judge at the end. And I know you're a God-fearing woman. I know you believe in God. But for you to say he should have turned his head, that did it for me. And it just, nobody heard it, but I heard it. But and you still were on the phone for a few more minutes where you could have said, oh, I lost my mind. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean to say that. But you said it. So for that, you know, Johnny, it's just, it set me back about you. Well, I had different ideas about you. I wanted to meet you and everything.
And
I wish somebody did.
I agree with you. You know, you can feel however you want about Donald Trump, but nobody should wish that somebody should die. I mean, nobody,
that's what I mean.
And nobody should have to give their life for, you know, just
know.
Because they're a political candidate.
And
even if you are somebody who hates everything that he stands for that much that you feel that way, you know, you've got to kind of evaluate the fact that, well, I mean, what does that say about you as a person? If that's honestly the way that you feel, that you think that,
well,
that, you know, this person needs to cease to exist anymore just to make you happy. That just seems a little extreme.
I mean, that much hatred. I mean, I was surprised it came out of her mouth. But Brian was talking. He was kind of still rambling. And I don't even think he heard what you said, but I heard it.
You know, knowing Shauneen the way that I think that I know her based on her phone calls and stuff, I think it was just more of a, you know, a smart-ass comment than it was an actual wish.
Yeah. Just like me, when I call Kamala names, it's the spur-of-the-moment thing. And believe me, I'm persecuted all over the place. Facebook's already deleting all my junk. They're planning to ban me for good, and it doesn't bother me. I'll just make another name. And if anybody that's worth anything to me, I'll give them that name, and they'll know it's me. So they'll have to keep on getting rid of me. But I don't care. I have as much right as anybody else to slam people. But I wouldn't wish any one of them to be murdered. That's going too far. And she said it. I knew. I don't feel she really means it. Now, if she were to really think it over, I don't know. But it just bothered me when I heard her say it, because I couldn't believe she said he should have turned his head. And Brian kept on rattling on and talking,
maybe he was just trying to move on from the statement, too, and not give it any air, too.
I don't think he heard it. If you hear the podcast, he didn't hear it. And if he did, well, then he did. I think if he heard it, he could have said something. Unless he was on that side, too. I don't know. I know he's not all for Trump. I've heard him say a lot of nice things about him, but I don't think he's 100%.
I don't think he'd want him dead either. Even if he wasn't a supporter of him, he wouldn't want to see him.
No. That's right. Well, I'm glad you're back. I used all more than 3 minutes. Thank you very much. And I still like you on top of it, Shawnee. I still do. I don't think you're... Because if you were the one that had to pull the trigger, I don't think you'd do it. Not for a minute, you wouldn't do it. But you were mad enough to say it. And have a good day. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. You have a good day as well. And one thing that I will say, too, for people who maybe you hate Donald Trump that much that you honestly do think, you honestly do wish that had been a successful attempt. Well, if you are one of those people, and I that's just too extreme for me. But if you are one of those people, then the point to make there is that, you know, right now, no matter what people think, the idea of MAGA is one man. It's one person really is the embodiment of that movement, and that's Donald Trump. And no matter who is his vice president or who is in his orbit or what have you, when he goes away from the political scene, so does that movement. I don't see that as being something that... Now, it's not to say that some of the policies and the ideologies won't continue on. Certainly, there will be people who will still have the same ideas and agenda, and by agenda, I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean like platform. Those issues will stick around, but the idea of this whole movement is based upon this guy and his ability to evangelize that movement. You know, he's the embodiment of it. It's his thing, is basically the way, you know, the easiest way to put it. And I don't know that it resonates as well if it's somebody else standing in there. It's just his thing. And again, it's not a knock. I'm just saying that that's how it is. It's like, you know, it's like when they swap out your favorite character in a movie. You know, it's like if all of a sudden Robert Downey Jr. was Dr. Doom instead of Iron Man. It doesn't make any sense, right? All right, maybe that's not a good example. But the idea is that, you know, this is in a negative way, you can call it a cult of personality. But in a positive way, you can say it's something that he is the embodiment of. But if he had been assassinated, well, then that changes. Then it goes beyond just one person. Then it becomes, you know, an actual movement that other people will take up the mantle, and people could fill the void left by the loss of that personality. So if you are somebody who despises everything that Donald Trump stands for, the worst thing that you could want and the worst thing that could happen would have been for him to have been taken out. So don't say things like that. Don't. And again, I don't think people who have said it actually mean it, but I don't pretend to know what's in people's hearts either. 508-996-0500. Got to take a break. Going to be right back. Summer, summer, summer. It's like a merry-go-round. All right, you ready for this now? I'm going to tie everything from that song into something better than I've ever done before, because that's the Cars, Magic, talking about summer, 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 and a merry-go-round. Well, how about experiencing all of that this weekend at Edaville Family Theme Park? You can experience the magic of Edaville in Carver, Massachusetts, this coming Saturday, because they have a special event going on with Cars. Not the Cars, but the Under the Lights Car Show. It's happening at Edaville Family Theme Park. Cars are going to roll in between 2 and 3 p.m., and then the event itself will take place from 4 to 9 p.m., and tickets start at just $12.95. And, you know, like a merry-go-round, right? Those lyrics said. Well, the park will be open and you can ride the rides. So check out the Under the Lights Car Show, hosted by the South Shore Stands Company, this coming Saturday at Edaville. It's part of their summer Christmas carnival nights. Experience the magic of Edaville with the Cars, the actual Cars, not the band, this coming Saturday, and all the great things at Edaville. You can learn more about what's going on there by going to Edaville.com, where you can get your tickets, or make sure you follow them on Facebook at Edaville Family Theme Park to keep up to date with all the great events they have going on all summer long. And don't forget to get your season pass so that you can get into those events and be ready to go for the Festival of Lights coming up in the fall, in the holiday season, as well as everything they have going on in the fall and the rest of the summer. So Edaville.com and Edaville Family Theme Park on Facebook. Right now, I've got to take one final break here in this hour. We will be right back. Welcome back in. There's a great voice that was gone too soon, George Michael. And if you've never listened to him beyond Wham, well, I recommend it. Good stuff. Anyway, we're going to be taking a break here for the news. When we come back on the other side, more of your calls, 508-996-0500. We'll take your app chat messages and your open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And don't forget, too, we have two contests running this week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.